have you been lovers? He remains speechless for a few seconds, then he answers with a question.
Can you see it that much?
It's very visible, or at least I can see it.
However, lovers is not the exact term.
How should I define you?
I don't know, but certainly not lovers.
Is it that important?
Of course it is. You look like a top student. So you know that terminological accuracy is the fundamental prerequisite for semantically correct communication.
What a strange creature. Where does he find the resources to appear lucid in the total chaos of his being? Let me rephrase the question. How long have you been together?
For almost 3 years.
That long? You're very young.
I've known her forever.
But why her? Why such an adult woman, and especially engaged to your brother?
I can't explain it to you. It would be like describing the sea to a blind man.
I'll skip over the unintentionally offensive comparison. Give it a try.
I don't know what to tell you. I just know she's gotten into my blood.
I take the sachet with two fingers. A bit like this stuff. I slip it into my bag, intending to throw it all in the nearest garbage can. Strangely, he doesn't try to stop me.
The comparison doesn't hold up. The sensations that drugs give are false. The ones I felt with her were real.
True? False? What does that mean? Sensations are sensations. Getting high on endorphins is just another way to get high. If you ask me, the lady was good in bed. That's all. With this somewhat naive provocation, I managed to achieve the desired effect, distracting him from his despair. A flash of anger lights up his gaze.
Listen, Ariana, I'm not accepting sex lessons from a stranger. If it were like you say, it would work with anyone. Sex is a means of communication. It only works if there's something to communicate.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
I've told her what I had to say. I have nothing else to say to anyone. If I survive, I'll end up marrying any woman, pursuing any career, maybe even having children, as if that gives life meaning.
It does, in fact.
No, it doesn't. And don't ask me why.
Suddenly, he falls back into reality. He rests his elbows on his knees and falls with his head in his hands, groaning disconsolately.
The bouquet of white roses. You don't know how much it hurts me. It was the bouquet I chose for us. I can't stand it.
It's difficult for me to articulate a response to this irrational outburst. In fact, I'll remain silent, waiting for the next one.
God, tell me that's not true. It's terrible. She doesn't know what she's doing. She'll suffer like a dog. I would have given my life to prevent it.
And here, I must admit, the boy surprises me. No one denies he's handsome and desirable, a delightful lover for his dear sister-in-law, but his despair and anguish strike me as grotesque and disproportionate. He's clearly overestimating himself. What's so terrible about a girl from a modest background, in Tuscany they say without art or part, marrying a career manager, and one as young and attractive as Emmanuel's brother to boot? I'd put myself in the lady's shoes. That woman, now dancing in the arms of her new husband, doesn't look at all distressed. I don't understand how he could believe otherwise. I try to find a way to make him understand it without offending him. You're depressed. That's why everything looks so bad. If she seems so bad to you, it's because you're feeling bad. Depression is a serious illness, not to be underestimated, but it can be cured. I see his hunched back. I see his trembling. I can't resist any longer. I lean over him and wrap him in a motherly embrace. I know this will make him cry, but crying is good for someone in despair. He's warm and throbbing like certain puppies. The scent of his hair stuns me. I hide my face in his shoulder. We remain like that for a few minutes, in silence. Then I decide to speak. How can you expect to see your brother's wife every day after what happened between you? And on top of that, without being able to confide in anyone, you can't keep this whole thing up. Keeping it all inside, you risk exploding.
That's exactly right, in fact.
You need to get out of here.
That's what I was doing.
Not like that. Come on. I have a better idea.
What idea?
You could ask to transfer to my school. I have the final exam next year, too. We'll prepare for it together. It'll be fun. Don't worry about housing. My parents will gladly host you if I ask them to. They know I'm level-headed, and besides, I'm the only child of elderly parents. They never say no to me. You'll like them. You'll see. They're simple, smart people.
You're very kind, Ariana, but I can't accept.
He says, wiping his nose with the back of his hand. I offer him my handkerchief. Why? He blows his nose and remains silent. I translate his thoughts. Because you can't stay away from her for so long? He nods. All I can do is be ruthless and push the knife all the way in. She's chosen someone else now. She's cut you out of her life. There's nothing you can do about it anymore. Suddenly, he raises his head with a strange light in his eyes, as if comforted by a crazy prospect.
That's not true. I can still be her lover.
The addiction is more serious than I expected. I'm not prepared to deal with this situation, but I don't intend to give in. I answer impulsively, look, let's make a deal. 1 year, just 1 year, the time it takes to detox, or even less. Then, if you want, you can go back to her, prostitute what's left of your dignity, and continue making a fool of yourself. I was cruel. I'll sugarcoat it a bit. You're probably right. There will still be a place for you in her bed. You're very beautiful. She will not say no to you. He shakes his head with a sour smile.
It wasn't a bed I wanted, but that's okay. That's okay too.
Not now. Listen to me. You are too weak to be able to do it, and she has a clear advantage over you. She has just married your brother, who among other things seems to me to be a guy with a lot of talent, and for some time she will be a devoted little wife. In a year it will be different. You will be fine and you will be able to look for her again, but from a position of strength. She will have missed you and will be a year older, which at her age matters a lot. Perhaps in the meantime, she will have become a mother, and I assure you that taking care of the dirty diapers of a brat while your husband goes around on business and plays tennis with his friends significantly reduces the charm of marriage. You will be in an advantageous position. You will have the game in hand.
I don't think so. Antonia can't have children. She's undergoing treatment. But it's not guaranteed to work.
God, all we need is the brat.
I insist. Give yourself another chance, please. What have you got to lose? He remains silent for a long time, immersed in painful reflection. Then he says,
maybe you're right. You're also right about my brother. I always underestimated him, but in the end he won.
Why didn't you think to confide in him? I think he loves you. He looks at me like I'm crazy.
Are you kidding? What was I supposed to tell him? That I was screwing his woman, and did everything I could to steal her away from him.
Yes, exactly. He would have been furious, but then he would have understood. He's an intelligent man, from what I can tell, and he would have understood that it wasn't just a sex story, or at least not for you. Your desperation is too obvious.
Not even for her,
he says dryly, annoyed that I doubt it. All the more reason he would have understood. He shakes his head.
You're crazy.
Maybe, Emmanuel, but no more than all of you. He is silent for a long time.
It's all so strange,
he says finally. He looks at me and asks for the fourth time,
who are you? I mean, who are you really?
I don't answer him.
It doesn't matter. It's better if you don't exist.
The orchestra is playing a waltz beyond the boxwood wall. I stand and hold out my hand. Let's dance. Do you want to?
A waltz? Are you kidding me?
I'll teach you. I put my arm around his shoulders and begin a few dance steps. He shakes his head, but lets me lead him obediently. You're so good, I tell him. I laugh like a child, not realizing it's too early for happiness. Distracted by my happiness, I'd almost forgotten that he's in so much pain. Suddenly, my laughter hits him like a slap. He abruptly pulls away from my embrace.
Leave me.
I left you.
I mean, leave me alone. Please. I don't know what I'm doing. I must be crazy. My place is here.
She will need me, sooner or later.
And how do you plan to help her? By committing suicide?
I actually have to stop. I did it. I'll do it again.
You didn't think so half an hour ago.
Half an hour ago was half an hour ago.
What makes you think you can quit?
I will succeed.
We had just made a pact. We said that. He interrupts me harshly.
Please, Ariana, stop. You've been kind. And I thank you for everything, seriously. But please don't be intrusive.
Intrusive. This word hits me like a punch in the diaphragm, leaving me equally breathless. I, Ariana Benyavuti, a person so reserved as to be considered even aloof, have been called intrusive by a complete stranger? I have never felt so humiliated in my life. I adjust my skirt. Excuse me. I turn my back on him and walk through the green corridor, racked by an inexpressible sense of unease. Escaping a maze isn't all that difficult. The maze is topologically equivalent to a circular room with one or more doors. Therefore, reaching a door is inevitable by always following the room's internal wall. The simplest procedure is to place your right hand against the right wall of the maze at the entrance, and choose the only path that allows you to never remove your hand from the chosen wall, until you reach one of the possible other exits, or the starting point. If the maze has only one exit, the algorithm leads to a dead end, from which you return to the starting point simply by continuing to follow the chosen wall. I scrupulously adhere to the rule I've studied, and quickly reach the exit. I see the sun-drenched garden before me, which momentarily dazzles me, giving me a sense of vertigo. I clearly grasp the tremendous void I'm leaving behind. I'm about to set off across the cobblestone path that leads to the restaurant when I hear a voice coming from the labyrinth.
Ariana!
I stop and listen. I take a few more steps along the path, but the voice calls me louder.
Ariana!
I decide to answer.
What's up?
I'm lost!
It's a fact that my sense of humor almost always intervenes to destroy the pathos of dramatic situations. I haven't yet figured out whether this is an advantage or a disadvantage, but ultimately I agree with Goethe. There are no conflicts that are irreconcilable to a superior mind. Tragedy in my life always tends to transform into an operetta. The force of humor drags all burdens to the surface. Superficiality is a virtue when combined with rationality. Despite being mortally offended, I burst out laughing at the thought of my Rimbaud wandering the corridors of the labyrinth, vainly searching for the exit. I know I should tell him, you can figure it out, especially since our hero had entered that trap specifically to die like a rat, only to be found stone dead from a cocaine overdose. A dark instinct tells me I'm doing it all wrong. As I turn around and retrace my steps, my rationality is failing. I urgently need to review the ABCs of Greek mythology. And anyway, instinct has taken over now.
Wait for me. I'll come to look for you,
I reply coldly. I place my right hand on the right wall. Following the usual path, I should find him easily. Instead, I wander around aimlessly for 5 minutes.
Where are you?
He exclaims from somewhere in the labyrinth.
Stay calm, I'm coming.
10 more laps in vain. I realize that something is wrong.
What are you doing?
I shout back.
I'm looking for the exit.
I sigh in resignation. That boy doesn't understand the most obvious things.
Emmanuel, wherever you are, stay still. If you keep moving, I will never find you.
I start over. You'll come to a point where there's only one path through the intersecting walls. This will be the turning point. After crossing this point, you can walk backwards or forwards. I find the turning point. After another 5 minutes, I finally run into him. Or rather, I stumble upon him, sitting on the ground around a corner, curled up like a child, his face in his knees. He's shaking all over. I stop, arms folded, in front of him. Get up, I tell him sternly.
Excuse me.
I don't need your excuses.
You're right. I can do it now.
Perfect. I see you finally figured it out. Now let's move. My parents will be wondering what happened to me. He gets up with the distraught expression of someone experiencing withdrawal. I pretend not to see it. Follow me. I walk in front of him. The small fresh leaves of the pittosporum caress the palm of my right hand as I proceed confidently towards the exit. Suddenly, he grabs my left hand and forces me to turn around, staring into my eyes with absolute desperation.
Take me away, please. Take me away from here.
I nod without answering and continue to walk confidently towards the exit of the labyrinth, leading him by the hand, as one does with the blind.
It's wonderful, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. Good luck, my baby, it's wonderful.